Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing and concluding a series on spirit, soul, and body. I tell you, I really want to encourage you once again to please get these materials. It's not because we are wanting you to buy these materials. Now, we do request a donation, and I'm not saying that we don't need people to help us, but I am really pushing these materials because this is what changed my life. And I make no apology about it. This transformed me. And, you know, I have never shared these truths with any person who received them. I mean, I've had people sit there and listen to them, and their mind was somewhere else. But if a person focuses on this and receives it, this is life-transforming stuff. This is what changed my life. I have seen it change the lives of thousands of other people. I've had so many people tell me that this is just the most radical thing. I guarantee you, once you begin to understand the principles that I've taught in this series on spirit, soul, and body, it will make you unfit for most of religious teaching today. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's going to probably get you in trouble a few times, but I tell you what, it'll make the power of God manifest and flow in your life. So once again, this is our last day to teach on this and offer these materials. And I encourage you to please get these materials. They'll be a blessing for you or for you to share with someone else. Now, this week, I've been talking about that the spirit versus the flesh. That's what I've entitled this teaching. And it basically goes back to all of the previous things that I've taught about that in the spirit, when you get born again, your spirit is completely changed. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit. And everything that is true of Jesus is also true of your born-again spirit right now. Not in heaven, but right now. 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world, not just in the world to come. And the only way to understand that is it's talking about in the spirit. So everything is already complete in your spirit. But you have this flesh, which I've defined flesh as just the non-born-again part of you. Your body, your mind, your emotions, attitudes, anything that hasn't been born again and transformed by your new self is what the Bible is referring to as flesh. And the flesh, or this natural part of you, is constantly being dominated by what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. The spirit realm is not tangible, and you have to access the Spirit by looking through the Word of God and trusting it. And so you've got this conflict. Here's what the Bible says you have and who you are. Here's what your flesh says. Your flesh says you're sick. The Bible says you're well. Which is going to happen? Which is going to dominate you? See, that's the Spirit versus the flesh. There's this war going on. And you have to get to a place to where you can retrain yourself to where you believe the spirit realm more than you believe the physical flesh. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I could spend a lot more time developing this, but in the context of what we're talking about, you could say, you can exercise your senses to discern what is of the soul and what's of the spirit. What's of the flesh and what's of the spirit. Your senses can be trained, but it comes through exercise. And notice again, with this understanding, let's read it again. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." In other words, this is talking about maturity. It's comparing it to like a child. You don't start a baby out eating strong meat. They start out on pablum or milk, and they graduate up. And when you begin to start eating meat and things is when you become a mature, full-grown person. This is talking about maturity. Strong meat belongs to those who are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In your spirit, you're always like Jesus. In your body, there is always the temptation to let what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel dominate you. How do you get to where you are going by the Spirit instead of by your senses. According to this verse, it's through reason of use. You have to exercise yourself. And notice that word, exercise. This is comparable to like if a person wants to go out and run a race. You just don't wake up the morning of the race and all of a sudden start jogging in place and doing stretches and you start preparing the morning of the race. No, you've got to start in advance and you've got to build up. It takes a period of time. It takes training. And see, there's a lot of people that when it comes to overcoming the flesh, they don't want to go out and commit adultery. But they haven't been training their senses through exercise to be controlled and dominated by the spirit realm. They sit there and they indulge themselves. They watch movies with adultery and all of these things in it. They read magazines. They're on the internet and they see pornography. Their friends talk about it. They indulge this flesh and then they don't ever want to go commit adultery, but they find themselves in a situation where they're tempted with it and they try and overcome and they just can't do it because they haven't exercised themselves. They give in. You have to exercise yourself. You need to get to where you spend more time meditating on what has happened to you in the spirit realm and who you are in Christ than you do thinking about physical, natural things on the outside. And when you do that, your senses, this is talking about what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, can actually come to realize that there is a spirit part of you. And it'll go to submitting to it. I've used this example before, but did you know that the television signal that you're watching, your television set is not broadcasting that signal. There's a station somewhere, and it's broadcast to many of you by satellite, and those signals are coming down, but the station that broadcast it is somewhere else. Your television set is only receiving something that was already there and then rebroadcasting it. Well, in a similar way, your senses, there is more than what you can perceive. Like wherever you are, there are other television signals. There are radio signals. There are the signals from cell phones and all kinds of signals in that room. You may say, well, there are not. You can't perceive it with what you see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. But you know, they are there, and all you'd have to do is retune your television set, turn on a radio program, open up your cell phone and talk on it. Those signals are there. You just can't perceive it with your five senses. But you have exercised or trained your senses to know that they are there. And you now learn how to turn on a set and tune it in and to push the right buttons and to do things. And you can access things that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel with just your five senses. But you have that television set that helps you to do it. Did you know that you can also train your five senses that there is more than what is going on just that you can perceive by your five senses? And you can get to where you train yourself so that when you read it in this Word, you believe it. You believe the Word of God more than what you feel. I know that to some people that sounds like that's impossible, but don't wake me up. That's where I'm living. I hadn't arrived, but I've left, and I'm telling you, I am seeing supernatural results. I'm seeing things happen that are physically, humanly impossible because I've started renewing my mind and letting the spirit man dominate. And the only reason I don't see more supernatural things happen is because I'm not letting my spirit dominate completely. But I'm in the process of pursuing that. That's my goal. That's what I'm seeking after. Let me go back to Galatians chapter 5. Here's a verse that I started this series with this week, talking about spirit versus the flesh. And in verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Let me first of all say what this doesn't say. When some people hear the things that I've been saying and they realize that in the spirit you've got the life of God, you're completely changed, but out here in the flesh you've got all of these desires and things that were left over from the old sinful nature. It left behind this body and you've got to somehow or another renew it. When people hear this, one of the mistakes that is often made, people just think, all right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to deny my flesh. I am not going to walk in the flesh. I refuse to do this. I refuse to do this. And they get so conscious of all of the things that they need to quit doing And they think that if I could just quit this, if I could quit my drinking, if I could quit smoking, if I could quit cussing, if I could quit lusting, if I could quit gossiping, if I could quit this, then I'm going to let this spirit man come through me. That is not what this is saying. Look at this again, Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It didn't say, quit walking in the lust of the flesh, and you will be in the Spirit. That's not what it said. That's the way it's nearly always interpreted and applied. And people become so conscious of all of the things that they're doing wrong, and they get focused on this, and they get obsessed with, I've got to overcome this and overcome this. This is saying just the opposite. That if you would begin to start seeing who you are in Christ, if you would get this revelation of who you've become in the Spirit, and if you would focus on that, and if your thoughts and emotions became captivated by these thoughts, you would find out that you would just automatically, it would be nearly incidental, it would be effortless, that your actions and thoughts would change. Another way of describing this is that when you go into a room, you don't try and get all of the darkness out of the room, and then when the darkness leaves, the light will come. No, you turn on a light and that drives darkness out. It's the same thing. You don't get into the presence of God by saying, I'm going to overcome this, and God, I'm going to get rid of all of these things. And when I get all of these evil things, when the flesh is no longer dominating me, then I'll be in the Spirit. No, it's just the opposite. You have to, first of all, just start finding out who you are in the Spirit and focus on this and seek God, not based on any performance, worth, or value. You just find out that when you made Jesus your Lord, you got these things by the grace of God, not because you earned it. You aren't in the process of being rewarded for all of your goodness and God giving you these things. No, when you got born again, according to Ephesians 4:24, a verse that I use nearly every single day for the first 2 weeks of this teaching, it says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You aren't in the process of becoming righteous and holy. You were created that way. You were just changed instantly when you got born again. If you can begin to understand that and focus on that, it will just automatically make the sin and the problems and the things that you're struggling with fall away as a byproduct. Let me give you an illustration of this. I'm not recommending this, but this does illustrate the point that I'm talking about. There's a friend of mine who's a pastor, and I'm not going to tell you his name or where he's from because this is his testimony, and I haven't got permission to give it, but I don't think he would mind me sharing it. But anyway, just for respect for him, I'll not use his name, but everything I'm telling you is accurate. He was telling me he was a very famous entertainer. I bet you that nearly every person, certainly in the United States, every person watching this program has heard his songs. If I was to tell you what they were, you've heard them. He was really famous back in the 70s and things like this. And anyway, he was an entertainer. He got born again. And when he got born again, I mean, God radically changed his life. And he got a revelation that he was a new person. He began to read the Bible, and God was showing him things about how his life was changing. And yet, he still had some of this unrenewed mind. He still had some habits. And one of those habits was he was still doing cocaine. So here this guy was, born again, but he was still doing cocaine. And he would minister, you know, this is before he was born. I mean, this was before he was out preaching the gospel. He'd get up and do his gig. He'd sing his songs and stuff. And it'd go sometimes to 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And then they'd pack up everything, and he and his team would get on their bus and start driving to the next place. And so here he was at 1 o'clock in the morning. He was tired, but he was so excited about his new life in the Lord that he was trying to stay awake and study the Bible, and he was sleepy. So the way that he would do it, he would snort cocaine off of the pages of his Bible. He would literally put the cocaine on his Bible and snort it to keep him awake. And then he'd just read about how much God loved him and things like this. Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm not telling you to do this. But I'm using this to illustrate that this man didn't turn off the dark and then the light came. But what he began to do, he began to start getting revelation of how much God loved him and what God had done. And he was still snorting cocaine off of the pages of the Bible. How sacrilegious. But you know what? He was getting, he was renewing his mind, and he was beginning to find out who he was. And it was just a short period of time. I don't know the exact period of time, but man, as he grew in the Lord, you know what? Just he began to think on what God had done for him. He began to realize he was a new creature, that he didn't have to be in bondage to these habits and to these lifestyle. And within a very short period of time, he was off cocaine. He's now been pastoring a church for 20-something, maybe 30 years, and totally free from all of that stuff. And see, it came as a byproduct. He was walking in the Spirit, and then you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the result. If he would have been saying, oh, I've got to quit this cocaine, he could have approached it in a way that he just struggled and thought, oh, until I do this, God won't love me. God's not going to accept me. And you know what that would have actually done? It would have kept him focused on the physical, fleshly realm. It would have captivated him in it. The way that you get rid of thoughts isn't to rebuke thoughts, but you have to replace thoughts with new thoughts. You know, like if I said right now, don't think of a banana. I refuse to allow you to think of a banana. I rebuke thoughts of bananas. Do not think of a banana. And if I was talking like that, every one of you would be thinking of a banana. And the more you try not to think on it and say, I refuse this thought, banana, get out of my mind. You know what? It would just be reinforcing it. You're just constantly dealing with bananas. But you could sit there and start talking about a strawberry or an apple or anything else, and you could start focusing on it and describing how it is and describing how much you like it, and you could talk about that, and you could get so focused on the apple that you forget the banana. And see, that's the way it is in the spiritual realm. Some people are trying to say, oh, God, I've got to get over this adultery, over this lust. And what you're doing is just constantly rebuking lust, and you're focused on it. You're trying to shovel all of the dark out of the room, hoping that the light will come. No, what you got to do is turn on the light. You've got to take these truths that we're talking about and find out that when you confess Jesus as your personal Lord, you become a new person on the inside. And then if you could focus through the Scripture and see what is taking place on the inside, find out what your true potential is. Find out how set free God has made you. Then as you walk in the Spirit, which is not describing whether you got your hands folded or your collar turned around backwards or any of the religious trappings that we use. This is talking about this, the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. If you were to walk in what Jesus said, if you were to take that you're a brand new person, old things have passed away, all things have become new, that you have the mind of Christ, that you have the faith of Jesus, that you have the same anointing that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you were to go to walking in that, thinking on this, controlling your life with this, it wouldn't be very long until all of a sudden it would rise up on the inside of you. Then if I've got all of this in Christ, and if this is who I am, well, then I refuse to allow this drug addiction to dominate me anymore. I'm a new person and I don't have to live this way. I refuse to let sickness dominate me. I refuse to live in poverty. I refuse to have unforgiveness when I have been given such a huge, since I have been forgiven such a huge price, I can certainly turn around and forgive a person who owes me something that's insignificant in comparison. See, as you begin to access what you have in Christ and focus on who you are in Christ, then that life just flows through you nearly automatically. It's nearly effortlessly. You just focus on what God has done for you, find out who you are, and as you think in your heart, that's the way you're going to be. And see, this is what all of this teaching on spirit, soul, and body has done for me. Prior to me finding these things out, I believed that God was real and that God could do anything, and I prayed for it. I remember praying for 6 months for my dad to be healed, and yet he died just after I'd turned 12 years old. I believed God could have healed him, but I didn't have any faith that he would heal him. I didn't know that God had already put the power on the inside of me as a Christian to release that healing. We didn't know anything about taking our authority and speaking to the problem. We were talking to God instead of talking to our problem. We were doing everything wrong because we didn't know that we had the ability and power. We were thinking, oh God, we're just sinners saved by grace. I didn't know that I was a sinner, but I had been saved by grace, and now I was a new person on the inside, and I had power and authority, and I could speak, and death and life are in the power of my tongue. I didn't know those things. I couldn't utilize it because I didn't know it. Again, I refer back to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, that the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. I didn't know what I had in Christ, and so I couldn't use it. I was praying and begging God, just like many of you. I know that there are many of you that are sincere. You mean well. You have needs in your life. You are desperate. You are seeking God with all of your heart. You're praying and asking Him to intervene. You're hoping and praying, but you have no revelation that God has already put all of His power on the inside of you. That as Jesus is, so are you in this world. You don't know that. And so as a result, you're desiring all of these things, but feeling powerless yourself, like you have nothing that you can do. Oh God, we're just helpless. We're waiting on you. But see, that's the wrong attitude for the New Testament believer. What I'm telling you is that when you got born again, God placed all of these things on the inside of you. He gave you all of the power that you need to live an absolutely victorious, totally overcoming life. And He not only gave you the power, He gave you the authority to use that power. But it all begins with you understanding what you have, who you are in the Spirit. I go back to the beginning of this teaching, and basically we have an identity crisis. Most Christians today see themselves as a sinful person who's been forgiven but not changed. And we sing about someday when we get to heaven, what a day that's going to be and I'll be changed. Well, that's true in the soulish and the physical realm. But most Christians are totally oblivious to the fact that in your spirit, you're already completely changed. It's already done. One-third of your salvation is over. You are as pure, as holy, as righteous, as powerful as Jesus is in the spirit realm. It's already done. And the rest of the Christian life is now, first of all, finding out what you've got and then being so focused on those truths that it begins to dominate you, that you change your identity so that no longer do you see yourself as powerless, but you see yourself as the overcomer. You're the ones with the power. It's the cancer. It's the sickness. It's the poverty. It's the depression that's powerless, not you. And when you begin to see yourself that way, it'll begin to start being reflected in your life. You'll begin to experience all of these things. This is what we've been talking about in this series on spirit, soul, and body. And again, I just want to say that this is what really opened up my eyes and started me down a path that has just transformed my life. And so I offer this to you, hoping that it'll have the same impact on you that it's had on me. And I encourage you to please get these materials. Today's our last day, so listen as our announcer gives you this information and call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Spirit Versus the Flesh, free of charge.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer all of these products on spirit, soul, and body. We have not only our two books, English and Spanish, on it, And we have DVDs and also a CD set, but we have this study guide that on the inside has a CD-ROM that you can actually reproduce all of these lessons in here so that you could disciple other people. This is tremendous for you. It's also a great way for you to do a Bible study or a Sunday school class. I'd like to encourage you to please get these materials. Today's our last day, so please listen as our announcer gives you that information, and then call or write today.
A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
The tumor was just feeding off the blood in his body. His whole complexion was like gray. His heart rate for like months was in the 90s. This was something that we just had to live with, and eventually God would heal. But I'm watching Mike's life being sucked out of him. I don't know if I'm going to come home and find him alive.
Take a healing journey with Mike and Caroline Hesch. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.